Hello, everybody. Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 119. It's been a while since we've done the podcast. It's been about a month, a little over a month. So we're back. We're better than ever. And let's get right into it. I'm your host, Vankman. And joining us today on the podcast, we have Mazer.
I'm liking the improved podcast. I'm liking the cybernetic implants we all have now.
It's all new. It's all improved.
No mics. It's awesome. I'm just talking out loud.
Right, and yet the computer. We're somehow connected.
It's so weird. This new invention we've come up with is madness. How you doing, Mazer?
I'm doing all right. Recovering from Comic-Con.
Yes.
Just, you know, yes. I think people don't realize, like, I mean, they see how much we're posting on the site, but we're probably up at, what, 7 and going to sleep at about 2?
Or 3.
Or 3.
Or, and, you know, depending on who's drunk.
Yeah.
6:30.
And then sometimes we, you know, wake up early so to cover a panel in the morning or something like that. So, yeah.
Takes a toll on you. Really does. But it's so worth it. Ben P is joining us.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. You did not go to Comic-Con with us.
I didn't.
Where were you?
I missed out this year. I was on a little jaunt over on the East Coast. I went back to Florida to go to a friend of mine's wedding and just kind of hang out with the family and do that whole deal. So next year I will be at Comic-Con, mark my words. And
well, we missed you this year. We really did. It was a great year.
I missed you guys too. I'm glad that it was good for you, because I was honestly, like, selfishly, a couple weeks before Comic-Con, when they made all the announcements that, like, some of the studios aren't going to be there, I was like, well, if this is the year to not go, I guess this is the one to do it. But I've been obviously following your coverage and stuff, and it sounded like there was a lot of cool stuff. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. Tiberius, hello.
I am doing amazingly well, seeing as how this was my first Comic-Con experience. But all I have to say is that I'm glad that we're back live on this week's podcast, because think about it. I mean, I felt like a void was there in my life, and now it's not. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
You're fulfilling that void.
The circle is now complete.
I feel the same.
With entire goodness.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to move into some box office numbers real quick. Captain America took in $65 million, bringing it to the number one spot. So congratulations to Cap and Joe Johnston. Did a great job. We'll talk a little bit about Captain America later. Number two, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 came in at $47.4 million. Number three, Friends with Benefits at $18.6 million. That's the Justin Timberlake, Mila Kunis movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't really have any desire to see that. Number four, Transformers Dark of the Moon, hanging at $12 million. And running in the top five, Horrible Bosses, which was hilarious, brought in $11.8 million.
Okay.
I'm kind of torn with Horrible Bosses. I'm thinking, did I like Bridesmaids more or Horrible Bosses?
Wow, I didn't even see Horrible Bosses because I didn't think it was going to be that good. But if it's in competition with Bridesmaids, I really like that movie too. So maybe I need to rethink that.
You don't need to rethink that. It's been rethought. We're now going to go to the movies. Please leave the podcast. And come back later. Just joking.
Nice.
Ben, I actually liked it better than Bridesmaids.
Basically. Okay. All right. Well, so, I guess I'm going to see it then. All right.
But other than that, let's kind of talk about some movies, big movies.
Vankman, can I do something? Can I insert something here really quickly?
You can insert whatever you want.
Because we're not going to play Connect 3 this week, I thought it might be fun, and because it's been so long since we've done the podcast, if we just threw in a really quick This Week in Box Office History.
Whoa! We're going back into... We're It's not. It's like we're new and improved, but old school.
But we're building on the old foundation. Yeah. So I've got something that's pretty interesting from the weekend of July 23rd to 25th, back in the year of 1982, and I was just wondering if you guys might have any guesses as to what some of the top 10 movies were on that weekend, and we'll just kind of fire through those really quickly if anybody has any guesses.
I got it. You're taking us back to 1980-freaking-2, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I know I'm popping this on you guys with no thought.
I know.
But
I'm going to say E.T.
E.T. is correct. E.T. was actually the number 2 movie at the box office that weekend. Mm. Nicely yeah. done. Man. Huh.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
Is Gandhi anywhere in there?
Gandhi is not in the top... not in the top 17.
It probably wasn't released yet. It's probably more like it.
Okay.
Just I'm gonna throw out some 82. What about when was Rocky? Rocky was 70 something, right?
You may be onto something there.
Rocky 2?
Oh, Rocky 3.
Rocky 3.
Yes. Number 6 of the box office, Rocky 3. Tiberius, you got any guesses?
Nada.
All right.
That was a bad year for me.
1982, those were some bad days.
There's some interesting things in here. I'll fire through the top 10.
I lost one of my G.I. Joe toys back in 82.
Oh man. Rough times. Rough times for us all.
That was actually the year that I stopped wearing my members only jacket. So that was really tough.
Oh, brilliance. All right, so I'll fire through these just to pique y'all's curiosity. Number 10, Annie. Number 9, a movie called Six Pack that I've never heard of in my entire life. Number 8, Poltergeist, which we're actually going to be talking about on this week's Not Just New Movies podcast.
Nice. Love
number 7, Tron, the original, surprisingly enough. You know, that movie's always kind of considered a box office flop, but it made $2 million that weekend. number 6, Rocky 3, as Venkman guessed, or kind of quasi-guessed. Number 5, kind of a cheap Raiders of the Lost Ark reissue.
You can't reissue that in 82.
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
Number 4, The World According to Garp. Number 3...
surprised we didn't get that one.
Number 3, this blows my mind that this is actually a movie title, Young Doctors in Love.
Number 3, that's Young Doctors in Love.
Yeah, I don't know. Number 2, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And number 1, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So,
all right.
Awesome, 1982. All right, thanks for indulging that. I just figured that would be fun.
Oh, it was fun. It was good to go back in time to 1982 and relive those memories.
Oh, yes.
Good times. Man. All right. Well... how about we move on to some reviews now?
Yes, do it.
Are we all up for that? Okay.
Yep.
Captain America. Who saw Captain America before we begin? Because I just, you know, need to know.
I have seen it. Ben has seen
it. Okay. Well, yeah, Ben Mazur. I've seen it. Mazur's seen it. Tiberius, I believe, has not.
No, I have not.
All right. So we're going to keep this kind of spoiler-free for the sake of the people that haven't seen it.
Yes.
We'll just kind of give our general thoughts on it. Mazur and I actually saw the film up at Comic-Con. We got early screening Thursday morning. They gave out these awesome posters and T-shirts. Of course, I had to leave before they gave them out. Came back, everybody had them. They wouldn't give me one.
Ah,
pretty bummed about that, but whatever.
Let me point out one thing. Let me just say one thing. While you guys were at the screening, guess who was covering, I don't know, a panel? That would be me.
Oh, yeah. What panel were you covering, Tiberius? You want to tell everybody what panel that was you were covering?
Was it Twilight?
Oh, yes, actually I do. I do want to tell everybody, I'm covering Twilight. And yes, I'm ecstatic to actually be saying that, because I'll tell you why. I'm looking at it this way. It's a glass is half full type of situation. Let me tell you why. One, I didn't have to sleep out on the cold concrete or the grass since Monday to get into that panel. Two, this might sound perverted, but Kristen Stewart was wearing kind of a see-through blouse. So enough said. Two bonuses right there. That's all I got to say.
Well, it's good that you're thinking of all the positives, you know?
Yes.
Now, were they screaming insanely, and did your ears, drums get bursted, or what happened?
Well, one thing fight? You guys don't know, no bursting of eardrums, thankfully. No, I did have to push a few 30-year-old women out of the way to get to my location where I was going to be. But that's okay, you know? I just play that, you know, that just rolls off my shoulder. Nothing to worry about.
So while Tiberius was out, you know, doing that whole thing, the rest of us were, well, not the rest of us, only three others were out watching Captain America, the First Avenger. And I've actually seen it a second time since then. So I've seen the movie twice already.
Man.
But I took my daughter to go see it. She's really excited about it. So, and she loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I absolutely enjoyed Captain America all around. Joe Johnston was the guy to bring it to life, and he did it. I was happy with what he did with the film. I really don't have any complaints. It was just a really fun, entertaining, exciting, all-American movie that took place in Germany.
Okay. All right. Mazur, what do you think?
For me, I've been describing it to people as, for me personally, it ranks up there like just slightly below Iron Man.
Wow.
And in some parts, I think it surpasses it. But I really enjoyed it. It has such a great beginning. And the ending, it's pretty all right. There's some interesting stuff in the middle where there's kind of a montage-y part, which I feel like could have been done in a slightly different way.
A little less montage-y.
yep. For my taste. But I mean, you really feel like you're just getting this excerpt out of Captain America in World War II, which leaves it open to, you know, possibly more adventures in that time period that were montaged, right? So, but overall, I love how all the characters were drawn. I loved how the action worked. Some people had some complaints of like, oh, all he does is throw his shield, block bullets, and punch people. Well, like, well, that's what Captain America does.
Captain America was punching people, even in the comics.
Yeah, he's either blocking it with his shield or he's punching someone. That's kind of it. That's all he does.
I think it was a perfect representation of Captain America, and I loved Chris Evans in that role. I thought he did great job, and I enjoyed watching him up on the screen doing his thing. I mean, it was great. Ben, you're breathing heavy.
I am. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. Don't you dare get me wrong. I did like it. I think the longer, the more separation I have from my viewing of the movie, the more I think I liked Thor a little bit more. Because Thor seems to have a little bit of a sense of importance, you know, like there's the whole Asgard versus Earth stuff, and the Asgard stuff is so Shakespearean, and you've got Anthony Hopkins, who has this fantastic presence, and there's so, like, all those actors are really great, and you've got, like, this kind of, even if it is a little cheesy at times, you have, like, what really feels like this kind of familial, really important storyline going on in Asgard. In Captain America, nothing really has that same sense of importance. You get the fact that it's in the war, but you never really see Red Skull threatening anything. Like, he just kind of uses this... let me see if I can say this without spoiling anything. Sorry, I need to keep that in mind. He kind of does his thing, but he never actually... has that, in my review I wrote that he never has that kind of Darth Vader moment where he completely owns something and just completely, like, blows audiences' expectations of, like, oh, holy crap, this guy is really awful and, like, we should fear him and feel this danger whenever he's on screen. I think Hugo Weaving was awesome, but I just don't think Red Skull really did much in the movie. Chris Evans, I liked him. I always like Chris Evans. I'm a Chris Evans fan, you might say. but he just kind of stood there sometimes. I feel like John Krasinski would have been better, you know, because this was one of those things where half the actors in Hollywood were up for the role of Captain America at one point.
Yeah.
And John Krasinski was, like, really close to getting it. And I think he would have brought a little bit more personality to it. This is one of those weird things where Chris Evans has a lot of charisma as an actor. We've seen that in almost all of his movies. I didn't necessarily think he brought a ton of that to Captain America, surprisingly. Like, once the transformation comes, because that's not a spoiler, you see it in the trailer, he becomes this, like, he's this scrawny guy who turns into this really jacked Captain America.
And I've seen the movie, and I don't even remember that part.
Once that happens, you just kind of, you can't really relate to the, I didn't think that you could really relate to the character very much anymore, because you've got, like, Superman, who is seemingly invincible, but he's got kryptonite, you know? He's got that one thing that can kind of get to him. But Captain America, there's nothing that can really get to him. Like you guys said, he just runs around punching people and blocking bullets with a shield, which is cool, but there's not really any danger for that character, you know? I don't know, maybe that's just me.
I feel like there was an opportunity. It was missed in a particular sequence on a train, if you know what I'm referencing. Yep. That could have been a moment of vulnerability and bringing it back to this is who this character is. And, you know.
Yep.
I feel like it was kind of underdone.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's hard to talk about. You know, spoiler free, but I think I get what you're saying. I really liked the rest of the cast, though. I thought everybody was pretty, you know, Tommy Lee Jones was awesome. Stanley Tucci was kind of the same character that we saw in Iron Man. you know, the dude who kind of helps Tony build the suit and stuff. That's kind of what Stanley Tucci reminded me of here. Dominic Cooper was awesome as Howard Stark. You know, that's always fun.
He got the, like, the voice down.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what's his name? Who did, played, Stark's father in Iron Man 2.
I think, was it not him? Was it not the same guy?
What's his name from Mad Men?
I don't remember.
John Slattery?
John Slattery, yeah.
Was that the dude from, like, the Adjustment Bureau who...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He played him in a scene.
Oh, okay.
See, I didn't see him. I didn't see him at all in that Tony. I saw more of Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark in the character than I did that guy.
Yeah.
I think he got the voice down of John Slattery's...
Mm-hmm.
The way he performed that. But then he got the kind of body language. Because, you know, he's younger.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of channels a little bit of both of what both those actors are doing.
Yeah.
Pretty well done.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. And, I dug Hayley Atwell. You know, she didn't really have, like, that much of an arc as a character or anything like that. But she was fun to watch. And all the characters were kind of fun to watch. It just, I don't know, I felt like the movie just kind of lacked a little bit of importance overall. Like, it didn't seem like... They just kind of went through and checked things off of a list, kind of a proverbial list of, like, okay, we need to do this. All right, let's go do it. And there was never much.
I think it's mostly because of where it has to end.
I didn't feel that at all when watching. I thought it was a pretty smooth flowing film, and I liked the character development in it. I liked,
Okay. All right. Cool.
You know.
Yeah. To each his own. Fair enough.
Sure.
When in Rome.
We'll agree to disagree.
When in Rome.
On some things.
So I'm really interested to see how regular people deal with the ending of the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we geeks know the mythology, so we know what's coming, but I'm just wondering, you know, my wife wants to watch this movie. I'm wondering how she's going to react to it. She's not a comic book fan in any way.
I think, though, at this point, and there's been a lot of discussion about this over the years, that being a geek is kind of so mainstream now that these movies are making so much money that everybody is kind of in on it at this point. Like, we can probably assume that everybody who's watching Captain America has seen Iron Man and Thor, at least, you know, or something like, has seen a couple of the Marvel films. So nobody's really going to be kind of left out in the cold with the ending of this movie. Everybody, sure, I'll give you the fact that probably not a large majority of the population knows that an Avengers movie is coming.
Yeah, when you go to the theater and 80% of the people walk out before the credits roll,
Did that happen at your theater?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone walked out.
That happened at the screening we were at.
That's surprising that happened at Comic-Con. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, why are people leaving? Sit your ass back down.
Did you guys see the kind of, well, that's a spoiler, I guess, what comes after. So we won't talk
about that. Yeah, don't spoil anything for me, please. Yeah,
I won't.
Well, wait, what are you talking about?
It's just a thing that happens after the closing credits. And I think you guys have probably written about it on the site.
I think everyone knows about the Avengers thing.
Yeah, it's just kind of a trailer.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
It doesn't give enough to know about that.
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know what to say about it because it was so fast and so quick.
That's all I was going to say was that it was
like,
super
fast. New costumes. Cool.
That's all it was. It wasn't much of anything else.
Yeah.
Well,
what you guys have told, you know.
Yeah. Well, a bunch of readers were sending us links to various videos of it that we could watch.
Oh, cool.
But Marvel asked us not to post it, so we did not do that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Which is good. I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought, getting back to Captain America, I thought the look of it was really cool. You know, we're all talking about if Joe Johnson can kind of recapture the Rocketeer, like that kind of tone and style and stuff. And I thought he did that pretty well.
Yeah, he definitely did that.
Yeah, I think
the look.
I love the look. I love the retroness of this movie. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
As long as they can, like, recapture the humor from the original Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the costume stuff I really liked in Captain America, all the kind of gags and kind of head nods and, you know, nudge nudge wink wink stuff with the costume, how they treated that in this movie, I thought that was really fun, kind of a little thing for the fans and kind of an interesting way to get all of the different versions of Captain America into one movie.
Yeah, and to kind of legitimize some of the most ridiculous parts of the costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Who really goes out in red, white, and blue with, you know, eagle wings on their head? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I already said if I had a costume like that, I would. So that costume was badass. I like the new one a lot better, though.
Yeah.
For the Avengers, it looks pretty awesome.
I've got photos of that I need to post.
And didn't you guys think that the CG stuff was really cool, the way they turned him from scrawny guy into...
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like that. I think, I don't know, I just had like some, I guess it was more like story issues and a couple little...
If I had one thing to say, I guess one thing I wish they would have worked on a little bit more is I wish they would have had the relationship aspect between Captain America and
Peggy Carter.
I wish they would have developed that a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think that would have made the ending a lot more satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Because that last line, I won't say what it is, but there's that last line that he says, And I think that would have held a lot more weight had they kind of developed that a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
But
yeah, it sounds like overall everybody liked it, you know, liked it enough to recommend it, especially if you're listening to this podcast. Absolutely.
Definitely. So. All right. How about we move into some Cowboys and Aliens action?
Yeah, let's do it.
You saw it. When did you see it?
Me?
Yeah.
I just got home from a screening of it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. There's that. You just got home.
And have all of you guys seen it at this point?
No. I'm the only one in the group.
Okay.
Here that got to see it. Okay. I hit up the premiere up at Comic-Con, which was pretty awesome.
Okay.
I got to say, just going to the premiere, because I've never been to a world premiere before. I guess that's the first one.
No, nah, that's not true. You've been to Sundance.
No, the Fighter.
Sundance stuff and the Fighter, yeah.
And the Fighter. Well, okay. First geek.
Yeah, geek Comic-Con world premiere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird just kind of standing around in that lobby, and I'm standing there watching Ron Howard and Brian Grazer and John and just all these guys just come walking through the doors, you know, and it was just like, this is so weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But overall, as for the movie, I definitely have been looking forward to this one. I love the concept of cowboys fighting aliens. I'm a big fan of the Western genre, and I was just really excited to see, you know, sci-fi and cowboys kind of mixed together here. And overall, you know, my expectations and everything, I felt that the movie delivered on all of it. I really enjoyed myself watching the film. I thought it was great. I enjoyed Daniel Craig. He's a complete badass in this movie. Harrison Ford, I'm just incredibly happy that they gave Harrison Ford this role, because this is a role for Harrison Ford. It's one of the best roles he's done in years, I think. He really hasn't really done anything worth watching until Cowboys and Aliens came along, and it was awesome to see him in this role as kind of a hard-ass land cattle owner cowboy guy. Mean as hell.
yeah
And it was a fun character to watch him play, so I really enjoyed him in it. As for Olivia Wilde, I mean, she's Olivia Wilde. She looked great and she did a fine job in her role.
Yeah, I think I liked the movie. I didn't love it. I didn't really have any expectations for it, really, because I just wasn't sure. Like, the concept is so kind of crazy that I wasn't sure how anybody was going to be able to pull it off, so I wasn't really actively anticipating it, because I just didn't want to set myself up to be disappointed. And I think it's a good movie, you know? It's like, it's one of those things that that, like, our parents or friends would go to who don't see a ton of movies every year.
Yeah.
And would be like, oh yeah, that's a great film. That's I had a lot of fun. It's a great movie, you know, great, acting and CG, and it was really well put together and all that kind of stuff. And all of that is true. I just think because we see so many movies, even though it's a crazy concept of cowboys and aliens that has never really been put together in one movie before, it had a little bit too much familiarity for me. Like, I could kind of, it's kind of a predictable movie, you know, even though it had this kind of fresh concept, there was aspects to it where you're like, okay, I see exactly where this is going. I just felt that the whole movie was kind of by the numbers, which is not to say that it's bad, because I did it's a good movie. I just didn't think it ever, like, hit that extra, you know, like, hit the juice, you know, and kind of drove it to the next level.
It's more of a Western than it is a sci-fi film.
Yeah, which I love about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of those things, is it followed the formula of a classic Western. You know, except it had aliens in it. Had you told the exact same story, I said this in my review, had you told the exact same story, taking out the aliens and replace the aliens with a bunch of hardcore murdering, kidnapping bandits, it would have been just as good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I liked. That, you know, it was a simple story. They kept everything simple. They kept it by the book, but they threw aliens in it. Yeah. And I thought that was awesome. I don't know. I kind of really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think it's a cool movie, and everybody, you know, who's listening to this is probably going to go see it regardless. Which is fine, because it's, you know, there's way worse movies, and it's probably, you know, Favreau did a fantastic job, I thought, you know, putting, you know, like you said, it's much more of a Western than a sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it takes considerable talent to actually direct a Western, as opposed to just hiding completely behind some CG effects and stuff with some of the more sci-fi related movies that we've seen over the past few years. I feel like you actually have to really get a sense of place and of history and stuff, but to kind of tackle a Western. And I feel like Favreau really knew what he was doing and put it together really well. So,
and then, you know, in my review, I'm like, because the kind of the type of movie that it is, cowboys and aliens, I honestly don't think someone other than Favreau could have pulled it off as well as it turned out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just, you know, the perfect choice for that.
Yeah, for that film. And you can see the kind of the same guy shot the movie as all of the same guy that shot the Iron Man films shot the Cowboys and Aliens, and you could kind of see Favreau's style come through a little bit. You can see his working relationship with the same cinematographer and in some of the shots and just the kind of overall look of the movie a little bit. You can see, you know, characters are framed the same way and they kind of look the same, even though they're in costume, you know, Western costumes. You could kind of interchange some of these settings and places with other Favreau movies of the past, you know, of recent years and stuff. And I think that's kind of a cool touch that he brought to it, where he's kind of making it his own and he's not just a director for hire, you know, doing it like Brett Ratner style. He's just kind of infusing it with his own personality. So I thought that was pretty cool. Trying to talk as much as I can without really giving anything about it away. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I think people will like it generally. It's a fun movie and the effects
are fantastic. I hope so. Because when the trailer first started showing in theaters, people would laugh at the trailer.
Well, yeah, it's just because the title was so ridiculous to people.
So it's just one of those things where I'm like, I hope the general audience buys into this idea.
Yeah.
I know the geeks will, but I don't know, you know, the fanboys and the fangirls are going to, you know, will buy into it. But the general audience, I mean, those are the people that actually give their money.
Yeah, and I think that's where Harrison Ford is like a real big draw, because I think older, you know, guys like my dad and stuff will go see this because Harrison Ford is in it. Because, you know, a lot of people who don't follow movies as closely these days could give a crap that Daniel Craig is the new James Bond. Like, he doesn't have the star power that Harrison Ford has. So I think putting him in such a prominent role like that really is going to do good things for this movie. And I really enjoyed Harrison Ford's performance too. I know you were talking about that earlier. I really dug that. I thought he did a really good job with a character that was like actually fun to watch him doing, because like you said, he's made movies like Flight Plan, or was that him? Was that, did he even do that? No, maybe that was Jodie Foster. I don't know. He's done what was the one?
He did Morning Glory.
Morning Glory, but there was one earlier where I think it was another one of those like Where's My Family type of things that Family Guy always makes fun of Harrison Ford for doing. I'm going to look up his IMDb.
I feel like Firewall.
Yeah, that's the one. Yes, Firewall. Thank you. Flight Plan. That's wild.
That wasn't horrible. That wasn't horrible, though.
Okay, yeah. I mean, my roommate fell asleep while watching it, so I figured, okay, that's probably not worth seeing. Extraordinary Measures. I mean, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was a disaster on all accounts, so he hasn't really done anything good, like you said, in a little while. So I'm glad to see him kind of having fun again in a movie, and I think this one is one that people are definitely going to like.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's talk about some Comic-Con stuff, guys. We were there for the last, 4 days. I'm sure we've got some stuff to talk about. Ben wasn't, so Ben will be the guy asking us, whatever.
Yes. Let me bask in the glory of your Comic-Con stories.
Bask in the glory of our Comic-Con stories, and let's figure this. Let's get it done.
Yeah. What were some of the highlights for you guys? Let's do it that way.
All right. Yeah. Highlights. For me, I think one of my favorite panels was the Amazing Spider-Man panel. They showed the teaser trailer, but they showed it in 3D and it looked great in 3D. And then they showed us about 5 minutes, maybe a little over, I don't know, around 5 minutes of footage from the actual film. It's still unfinished. There was still unfinished special effects and stuff like that, but you got the gist of what was going on. And I think Mark Webb really pulled off something special here. They're showing this footage and you're seeing, Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy kind of doing their thing, and then the indie music starts to play and you're like, oh my gosh, this is 500 Days of Summer, but Spider-Man.
I think that that's something that I've seen in the comments. Some people are like, I don't want that type of a film.
But I don't think it's going to be, because it went from that. They had that relationship part of the story. But then it got into...
The action looks great.
The Spider-Man part of the story, the action, and it's dark, it's gritty, it's...
Practical.
It's practical, yes.
We saw dudes on wires, and they hadn't, comped out the wires. We saw them swinging on stuff, and we're like, oh, wow, that's an actual dude doing that.
Yeah, so, they did as much practical effects as they possibly could. And I think it's really going to turn out being something pretty cool. I'm excited to see the movie. I mean, I can't wait to see more. But as far as the movie goes, that really got me pumped up. And seeing Andrew Garfield go up there and kind of give his speech on how Spider-Man has inspired him in his life and stuff like that. That was really cool. And this guy, the guy that's playing is extremely genuine, you could tell he has a really deep love for the character. And so it was really cool to see that. And it's got a great cast. Everybody looks great in their roles. And honestly, it's going to be completely different from what Sam Raimi put together, but I think that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
From the footage I saw, I'm just like, man, this could be a all around better film than what Raimi had already done.
Tiberius, did you get a chance to go to that panel?
Yeah, I was blown away by the overall footage, the CGI utilized on the villain that was shown. Was amazing. Realistic. Yeah, the lizard. Yeah.
And it wasn't even the effects weren't even done yet, but it still looked
great. That's my point. Yeah, I know. It still looked fabulous. It had I know this sounds weird, but I like the fact that it had a nice dose of humor, but it wasn't overplayed. From the footage that we saw. Now, I don't know how that is going to translate in the overall scheme of the film, but there's just a nice dose of humor, and it seemed real. The interaction between Peter Parker and the rest of the characters, especially Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy, just really seemed real, clumsy, awkward, and genuine for what Peter Parker is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Webb's good at. He's good at bringing that genuine feel to the characters. I mean, he had that in 500 Days of Summer, and he brought that to The Amazing Spider-Man.
What did you guys think of the... Because, it's been so long since we've done this podcast. What did you think about that teaser trailer? The first half of it, I think, is pretty kind of traditional, and then it goes into that POV stuff. What did you guys think about the POV thing in particular?
I liked it, and it was...
It actually looks a lot faster in 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In 2D, it feels very slow.
Okay.
Seems like it should be twice as fast.
It was interesting. They played the trailer when I saw Captain America. They played the trailer in a theater, and a lot of people didn't know what was going on because that first half of the trailer, you don't really know that it's a Spider-Man film. They don't say anything about it until you actually see that flash of his back sitting down, you know? And people were just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so people were just like, what is this? You know, until that, but.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was a very, I think it was effective. It was a good way to get, get the general audience who don't follow the blogs and stuff all pumped up, you know, to get them pumped up about it.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, I thought it's a gimmick, but it looked really cool. You've got, like, they did a really great job with the weight of a guy, you know, like seeing that from a POV. When he leaps off of that building in the final part of it and then looks straight down and looks back up and shoots the web and it catches and, you know, there's that kind of drop with the where it catches the weight and he swings off of the web. It's like, oh, man, that just looks like I'm sure exactly how a real Spider-Man would be if such a thing existed, you know? That's pretty
cool.
I geeked out about that.
Yeah, that was cool. I was going to say one of the most surprising things that I saw panel-wise was Total Recall. It's a movie I was not at all really looking forward to. I just thought it's another remake with Colin Farrell. It's whatever, you know, we'll see how it turns out. And then, you know, I wasn't even excited about, like, you know, having the panel covered or whatever. I mean, that's just that was my mindset. And then they showed the footage, some of the first footage from it, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this movie's gonna be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how good it looks. Mazur, you described it pretty well.
Yeah, I described it as a mix between Blade Runner and The Matrix, with about it being like about probably 80% Blade Runner and about 20% The Matrix. And even then, I'd even add in a touch of like Minority Report with all the hollow interfaces and stuff they had in it. I've got to say, Len Wiseman has done an amazing job with the production design. We saw a bit of the footage, and there were some animatics interspliced with it, and the animatics had an insane amount of detail.
I was like, wait,
that's an animatic, because it almost looked like finished work. That's how much detail was in the animatic.
Wow.
And it looks like the film is. In the post I did for the panel, I was describing how, you know, Inception was such a successful film, and it feels like audiences are ready for a film that's going to be high concept, something that's really going to challenge them in terms of what's the difference between fantasy and reality and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to definitely take those ideas and really, I think, amp them up to a different level than I think even the first film. Because in the first film, it's like, well, Arnold's this huge buff dude. Of course he's going to be like a spy or something, right?
Yeah.
But you have just as regular as Colin Farrell can look in this amazingly high-tech environment. It's just really, really cool.
So is he supposed to be, from the stuff that you guys saw, is he supposed to be just kind of a normal guy, or does he kind of strike you as a badass right in the beginning?
No, he's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it in no way represents the first Total Recall film. In no way. This is a completely different movie.
Other than the idea of, is this real or is this not real?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So,
I think that's a good thing. I think.
Yeah, it is.
We need to make that clear. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, but really, I think this is a completely fresh, rejuvenated, up-to-date technology-wise take on somewhat of that concept. More so, they're probably pulling from the actual books, book that it was based on, you know, technically based on, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I didn't know. Do you guys remember that Minority Report was originally called Total Recall 2?
Really? No.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I think this is probably more of a Total Recall than Minority Report was intended to be. So.
And Colin Farrell also was in Minority Report.
It all comes around.
It all comes together.
How many Philip K. Dick adapted stories will he be in?
Well, another thing, we talked about Len Wiseman, and I have to say, I haven't seen the last Underworld, but this Underworld that's coming out,
What is it called?
Len Wiseman didn't do the last Underworld. He only did 1 and 2.
Okay, well, there you go.
But he produces. He's still a producer on him, so he's kind of involved with it still, but... Underworld 4 looks like it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I could be completely wrong, but I don't know. Just the action choreography and the sequences that we saw looked great. I think Beckinsale's meant to play that role, and I think her not being in the last film really didn't have any interest for me to see it, so that might be part of it. So
I still enjoyed the last film, even though she wasn't in it. I thought it was done pretty well, but I'm happy to see her coming back. I'm glad she's back in the black leather. I won't lie.
Well, what were some of your highlights, Tiberius?
I had some good experiences overall. I was kind of like a kid in a candy shop. Well, at Comic-Con, it was just an eye-opening experience to see the love and the joy that people had, even for some like obscure comics or universes or things like that. It's just great to be around fellow fans of something, people that were passionate about something or many things. I just love that. Let me just first of all say that. Secondly, little things for me, being able to just see people. Another thing on a broad general concept is that being at the panels and hearing some of them, not all of them, some of the actors didn't seem to care whether they were there at Comic-Con or not, but others really were excited and they seemed genuine. And I loved hearing them talk about how they were able to develop their character, or they got it. They understood why they were there and how important Comic-Con is to their show or to their film, and they were candid, and that's what I loved most about it. In terms of panels, I have to agree, Amazing Spider-Man was amazing. It was really amazing. It was awesome to see that. The Walking Dead panel was pretty cool. The Torchwood Miracle Day. I had already seen the first show of that, the first episode on Stars, but I am interested now. It was interesting to see that their dynamics and the way that they interacted. There's so many other, Knights of Badassdom was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that was surprisingly good.
Snow White and the Huntsman looked.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is that the one directed by Tarsem?
No.
Okay.
And that's just fine. I mean, I like Tarsem's Immortals looked amazing.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I think the stuff get blown away by that.
Stuff not in the trailers looks. Oh.
Yeah, okay. they showed a pretty badass Red Band trailer and clip.
It was Gods versus Titans.
Oh, and man. It was awesome. Because
I got to say, that first trailer is like not the most awe-inspiring thing. I know I'm going to see that movie anyway because I really
like... That's what's crazy, though. The first trailer gives, like, when we saw this new stuff, it's a completely different movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be... Hardcore.
Yeah, the visual quality is definitely up. I think, I guess maybe we've, you can compare this film to 300, and it's from producers of 300, but the first stuff from 300 was kind of rough too. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, when the movie actually came out, it looked really polished. So I think that's what's happening here.
But even this, like, I'm watching the footage and trailers and stuff for this, and I'm like, this is going to be a better movie than 300.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's just got this awesome feel and Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so
but really back,
pumped up, wanted to go out and start fighting people.
Oh yeah, it did have that same effect on me too. But but also the Snow White, I really want to say, and I'm going to say this again. I've said it before. I've said it on Twitter. I'll say it now. Kristen Stewart is going to be badass as Snow White. And I don't care if you guys think I'm nuts for saying that. I really don't care.
Well, especially the take they're putting on it. It's more like, you know, Snow Joan of Arc.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I like the way you said, I like the sound of that. That's true.
And then just the we saw a concept video. It wasn't even the actors in it. And it was just kind of getting a feel for it. And it just feels like a world that is truly made of magic.
Yeah.
And it does feel to have this fantasy element. And there was just kind of this narration that was just kind of this lyrical, like, poem that was, you're just like, if that's the vibe, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially the director. I mean, the stuff, I mean, you don't recognize the stuff he's done, but he's directed, like, Halo commercials and, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops commercials, and, you know, lots of things that were just like, you're like, oh, I've seen that, and I've liked that and that. And you're like, okay, this is... I mean, as long as the story, I mean, visually it's going to be amazing, and it looks like hopefully the story is going to be awesome too, so.
Cool.
Theron's also going to be a great evil queen, I think.
Yes.
I think, I mean, with Hemsworth, it's good. I think, you know, I know they went through a little bit of trouble with different people being cast in, you know, trying to get people cast. I think Hemsworth's the best choice. I think it's a good role for him, and I think Theron's going to be great, at, like I just said, as the Evil Queen. So, I don't know.
I think everyone was cast pretty well, so I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
The weirdest thing that I think we saw was the Francis Ford Coppola panel for his horror, thriller,
no,
mind freak Twixt movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That just the. I wish you could have been there for this, Ben, because it's hard to put into words what was going on at this panel.
Yeah.
Because you had Val Kilmer and Francis Ford Coppola up on stage. It's like, well, we're gonna show you this. We're gonna show you this trailer and this footage for the movie, right? And you're like, okay, cool. And then they play it, and you're like, all right. That's weird, but I can get behind, you know, that. It looks like it'll be interesting, somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, the technology behind it just seems really interesting. I don't know if they described it well, but...
Yeah, they didn't describe it as well, because then they went on, they're like, hey, why don't we watch that trailer again?
Yeah.
How many times did they show it?
Probably four times.
Like four times?
Yeah, so it's interesting. He just got on this whole tangent about... live performance and how music and all that kind of stuff, and then how movies could return to live performance. Well, movies can't return to live performance. So what it basically is, it's a huge library of the movie, and there's different alternative takes on each and every single scene. So there's short scenes, long scenes, funny scenes, or something that's just a little bit different. There's little plot points given in a different way. And he, live, while the movie's showing, picks which is going to be the next scene. And then based off the audience, you can go, okay, they want a little bit more humor. Or, okay, I saw a little some people not get what that was. So I'm going to put in this point where it's a little more exposition at this point. So kind of like a composer, he's putting the music in tune with the audience.
Wow, that's pretty progressive.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. So that, and not only that, live music to match the movie at the same time. So it's going to be like 30 cities. They're going to tour this thing out. This is going to be an interesting experiment. I don't think it's going to catch on, but it's definitely an interesting idea.
It was like the weirdest part of, I don't know. It's just, there's this chanting that was going on that,
Oh, there was one song called Nosferatu, where it's just Coppola and Val Kilmer chanting Nosferatu over and over again.
Nosferatu, Nosferatu, Nosferatu. And you're just like,
It was so weird.
It was just weird, and I still can't get the damn thing out of my head.
It's catchy.
Yeah. It is. It's a very catchy tune.
Man, yeah, that, I mean, the only thing, I don't know, I guess Coppola's trying to, like, take cinema to the next level or something with that, but the problem with that is you can't have anybody talk about your movie because nobody sees the same exact thing.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So, what, I mean, that's kind of the point. I mean, I think
you can't get it on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Kind of. Otherwise, it would be practically on. What he showed us was something was like, oh, let's just show all the scenes in shuffle.
Yeah.
Like, what? A movie in shuffle? Just like random parts of the movie put in different orders and different lengths. And just like, it made no sense.
Yeah, I think that's something that you just have to experience. It doesn't even seem like a movie. It just seems like more of an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's kind of cool, though, I guess, that somebody, you know, somebody like Coppola is like, all right, yeah, let's just let's shake things up a little bit.
As Comic-Con for a whole, I think the biggest complaint I have with this year is they put a bunch of stuff in Hall H that didn't need to be in Hall H, and they put a bunch of stuff in Ballroom 20 that needed to be in Hall H. So you had panels for, like, you know, The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, where people were, like, waiting, you know, 8 hours to get in line, and some people didn't even get in. And then you had something like this Francis Ford Coppola Twix movie where, you know, it wasn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's a more of a specialized crowd.
Yeah.
You know, so it would have been, I think they need to start, and we talked about this while we're at the con, that they need to start taking what's popular and putting the popular things in Hall H, whether it's movie or TV, because TV is getting huge right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everyone wants to see the TV stuff. And we walked in to a TV panel on Sunday, which is the slowest day. And they had a panel for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia in Hall H. And you think, oh, it's not going to be crowded. There's not going to be a lot of people coming to see it. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It was packed to capacity. Hall H. Okay?
Wow.
And it just goes, you know, and I'm just sitting there going, see, they should have put all these other shows in here too, because that's what the people wanted to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the different size, the size difference between the rooms is 6,000 people or over 6,000 people in Hall H, and then 4,500 people?
Yeah, like 4,000.
Oh, 4,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 4,000. So those, you know, extra couple thousand people, just a few extra, right? Really does make a difference on those lines.
Well, Mazur, what were some of your highlights?
Amazing Spider-Man, Total Recall was a great surprise. The Huntsman, Snow White and the Huntsman footage was really, that concept footage was really amazing, really brave conceptual stuff. Haven't really seen something like that done before.
Cool.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia was pretty funny.
It was funny.
They showed
us
an episode, that show continues to entertain. It's hilarious, and it just seems to get darker and more funny and twisted at the same time. So
they also showed some footage for Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
I was actually I was more entertained by the making of footage.
But even the footage of the film looked 100 times better than what they had from the first movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely just loathed the first film, and I had no desire whatsoever to see the sequel. And then they showed, you know, these two guys directing the movie and how they do that. I mean, one guy had rollerblades strapped on him while he's holding a camera while being pulled by a motorcycle at 40 miles an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty insane.
Trying to get the shot. And you're just like, What?
Got another, you know, director on like some kind of like bungee system holding a camera, and you're just like, what the hell is it? Like you see like you see the you know the can you see him the director with a camera, and then you see a stuntman, and the director is closer to the fire or the danger than the stuntman. It's just ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah,
and that was way more entertaining than the footage they showed. I mean, it looks way better than the first one, but I'm still not watching it in theaters. I have to applaud their effort, but I think even the directors, you know, acknowledge like it makes no sense.
Yeah,
he makes like, no sense at all.
It's, like, it's a guy with a flaming skull. What do you want?
Yeah, his superpower is sucking souls.
I've got to say though, the addition of Idris Elba is a good addition. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of Neville Dean and Taylor to some degree. I did not like Crank 2, but I love the original. So, those guys are always kind of crazy. I'm glad to see them.
Apparently they're doing a Crank 3 now.
Oh, are they? Did they talk about that?
They didn't, no. But Ephraim Ramirez, the guy, he gave an interview and said that they're working on it.
Nice.
So
okay.
And they said they're going to do it with or without Statham. Statham isn't signed on, and if he doesn't sign on, they're still going to do it, is what he said.
That's ridiculous. Why would you do that? That makes no sense.
It was just a stuntman with a Statham mask. Make it totally ridiculous. Make it make no sense at all anymore.
Oh, what else? Went to a Comic-Con kickoff party, which was pretty cool. Jon Favreau came in and DJ'd the party from about 11 to 2 in the morning.
Nice.
And that was pretty awesome. You know, it's pretty cool, you know, listening to him do his thing up
did
there.
Did he drop some hot beats?
He dropped some like mad hot beats. It was off the hook, yo.
Mad hot beat. Awkward. Nah,
it was pretty cool. It was fun though. Like, quick story. Hung out with Mark Echo, which was kind of surreal.
Yep.
Kind of cool. Very, very cool guy. Fan of the site, and we literally just sat and talked for like an hour and a half.
What?
Yeah, we were just hanging out. It was so weird.
That's ridiculous.
And then someone introduced me or tried to introduce me to Olivia Munn. And I'm sorry, I don't care. I don't care
the
what
truth
I say.
Will come out.
I don't care what I say about her because she doesn't do the blogging thing anymore. Anyway, Olivia Munn's a bitch. I'll just come right out and say it, man. You know, it's like I was being introduced to her, and Olivia Munn like kind of shunned me away, like waved me away. It's like, oh, I don't do the blogging thing anymore.
Here's a little tip. Why the heck are you at a party for them?
I was like, you couldn't just, you know, say, hey, nice to meet you. You had to wave me away.
Yeah. I love that Mark Echo hangs out with you for an hour and a half and Olivia Munn waves you off.
I know, right? Like, okay, whatever.
That's ridiculous.
So it was fun. It was a fun little party, though.
Cool.
Good times.
Good stuff. Did you guys hang out with any of the other bloggers from the other sites or anything?
Not as much as we have in the past.
I saw some craziness at an ice cream shop, but I'm not going to embarrass the people who I saw.
Okay.
Not anyone on our staff, but yeah. Nice. It was an interesting situation. Then
yeah, so something happened. Something was going on. It was like mean things were being said or something like that. There's some.
Yeah, they were trying to grab some. They were playing with someone's cell phone and tweeting bad things from that person's account.
So they were being juvenile.
Yeah.
Anyway, when they found out we were from Geek Tyrant, their attitudes completely changed.
What do you mean?
It was like they were embarrassed by what they were doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
So
I'll have to hear about that story off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the blog names.
Cool. It sounds like you guys had fun.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Didn't really get too crazy. It was kind of, I mean, there was a lot to do, but it was a bit more relaxed than other years, I think. Because we didn't wait in line. We didn't have to spend the night in line this year, which was kind of nice. Yep.
It was just a quieter event. I think all the booths, I liked it. The booths were all smaller, which means they had to do the same amount of promoting from the same sized booth. So it was just insane on the floor.
Yeah.
There was a lot more video games
than
there's ever been. They had a real presence this year.
Nice.
Yes, we had a good time. Can't wait for next year. Already excited.
Yeah.
And to get passes, crazy. to get passes for next year, because you know how you can pre-register this year for next year at the con, people were spending the night to do that.
Wow.
They were giving away 2,400 tickets a day, and they were selling out.
I feel like there was more people in line for that than for Hall H.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. So next year is going to be nuts again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it, all in all, it was a great year.
Cool.
Other than that, let's kind of, I guess let's...
talk about what's coming out in theaters.
Talk about what's coming out. We got Attack the Block, which is coming out in limited release. You have to see this movie, people.
Yes.
Go see Attack the Block.
I got to find a screening near me at a time that I can watch it.
Do it.
This movie is seriously, it's definitely one of maybe my favorite movie of the year.
I think it is for me,
too. Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's worth it for me to drive into New York City to go see this movie?
Yes.
Unquestionably, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. It really is. It really is great. Are they doing a limited release and along with the video on demand release?
If they did that, I'd be very happy.
I'm just saying, if they do that, then you don't have to drive into New York. I'm not sure if they are or not.
Yeah.
I don't believe so. There hasn't been anything announced. I was checking yesterday on my flight home, but you know, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, dude, it's worth it. I think it is my favorite movie of this year so far. It's really
fun. It looked good. I love seeing the footage.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool. So.
Yeah, so that's coming out. Go see that if you get a chance. Cowboys and Aliens is coming out. I recommend to go see it. Crazy Stupid Love looks like it'll be an entertaining movie.
Definitely.
That reminds me of a panel that we didn't talk about. Driver.
Oh, Drive.
Yeah. Drive.
Oh,
Drive.
Man. Yeah.
Watch that. That looks insane.
I already saw it and I was blown away by its complete and utter awesomeness. So
yeah, Joey and I saw that one at the LA Film Fest and it kicks ass. It's really, really good.
I want to see that again.
Yeah.
That might be my second favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's The Smurfs, which I could give a shit about.
Vingman, are you going to have to go see that with your kids?
Yep.
Bummer.
I'm trying to talk them out of it, man.
I already told my wife that I'm not going to.
Sure, you don't want to see Cowboys and Aliens?
Attack the Block. I know your middle girl might like Attack the Block, right?
Oh, my 6-year-old? Oh, yeah, she'd love Attack the Block. That sounds so weird, but it's true.
Alien invasion in the kind of slums of London? Oh, yeah, let's do it.
So those are the movies coming out this weekend. And other than that, thanks for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to... subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant. We've got t-shirts and stuff still on sale. We're not sold out yet. Geektyrant.me, free shipping. So
in the U.S.
In the U.S. So you don't have to pay for those shipping costs. And subscribe to our YouTube page on youtube.com/geektyrant. Other than that, Ben, you want to plug your awesome podcast?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, the Not Just New Movies podcast. You can find it in iTunes. You can listen to it at geektyrant.com. You can also listen to it at notjustnewmovies.com. We talk about older movies. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about Poltergeist this week. So check that out.
Very nice. Tiberius?
Yes. If you're looking for an even awesomer podcast, no, just joking. The Napier's Newscast has actually changed now. We are now known as the Popcast. So a little play on – I know, exactly. And we can be found also on geektyrant.com and on iTunes. Simple as that.
Good stuff.
And you've been listening to the new and improved Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast.
It actually is improved because Tiberius's mic sounds fantastic nowadays. So,
yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, and enjoy the rest of whatever time it is where you're at.
Yes.
Bye.